Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services.
Total Country Bob FM.
This is it. What you waited for all weekend long, the return of the Bob Almanac. And it's brought to you by Authority Fence. Authority Fence, your Bob Almanac title sponsor. Keep your kids safe and your yard private. Also, your pets secure. We're talking about dogs. Keep your pets secure with Authority Fence. With over 60 years of combined experience, family-owned Authority Fence uses only premium-grade vinyl, chain link, and aluminum maintenance-free fence products backed with a lifetime warranty. Enjoy safety, security, and privacy with Authority Fence. Go to AuthorityFence.com, click on their free fence estimator tab to get the ball rolling, or give the office a call now, 320-558-4488. Authority Fence, Minnesota's maintenance-free fence specialist and a proud Minnesota licensed contractor since 1994. We have a Bob Almanac salute here today.
From Terry Anderson, the Globetrotting Associated Press correspondent who became one of America's longest-held hostages, has died. Anderson, who grew up here in Batavia, was snatched from a street in war-torn Lebanon in 1985 and was held for nearly 7 years. For most of that time, he was tortured and chained to a wall. He later wrote about his experiences in the best-selling memoir, Den of Lions.
Tortured and chained to the wall.
7 years.
7 years. Hezbollah militants were the ones that took Terry Anderson. He was held until 1991, and he passed away over the weekend. And he passed away at the age of 76. Complications from heart surgery, actually.
Okay.
So talk about harrowing.
Oh, my gosh. We can't imagine what the day-to-day life. I bet you. The clock doesn't move very fast in those situations.
Can't imagine they gave him much to do.
No.
And what it was probably wasn't fun. You know, you think about the most monotonous thing, maybe peeling potatoes for the Hezbollah mutants or militants.
Yeah.
And who knows what else.
Right.
Really boring stuff, rolling socks.
No good.
So Monday, April 22nd, the 113th day of the year. 1509.
I'm Henry VIII, I am. Henry VIII, I am, I am. I got married to the widow next
door. Henry VIII took the throne this date.
Herman's Hermits were there to sing about it.
Yes, Peter Noon.
I'm a eighth old man, I'm Henry. Henry VIII, I am.
They knew that Henry VII was going to die, so basically the Herman's Hermits were on standby.
Right.
And they were there at a moment's notice to usher in the ascension of Henry VIII upon the death of his father, Henry VII. The state wouldn't have that song, wouldn't have that great scene in Ghost either, where Patrick Swayze is singing it to annoy Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
Remember that well. I certainly hope. 1509. This date in 1864, the U.S. Congress passed legislation. Does our money still have In God We Trust in it?
I think so. I hope we haven't eliminated that.
It was included on 1 cent and 2 cent coins. This date in 1864, In God We Trust. Wasn't it later, though, that they added it to the paper money?
I think so.
I think it was on the minted coins, but it wasn't until into the 1900s. Well into it. You could look that up. But I just want to, because I think we probably had that note previously on a previously on the Bob Almanac.
Yeah, I think so.
Viewer discretion is advised. 1898, this date. Spanish-American War began. We were remembering the Maine. I also like to remember the embers.
And the M-burger.
And the M-burger, yes. The USS Nashville captured a Spanish merchant ship off of Key West, Florida this date. And that began the Spanish-American War. Of course, the explosion of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor kind of pushed us to this point. And then a few months later, Spanish-American War underway.
It would last a few years, right?
Yes. 1915, the Yankees. They went pinstripe for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
They wore their famous pinstripe uniforms.
They had the old grays.
Yeah. They weren't too many years removed from being the Highlanders.
No.
Remember, they were the Highlanders before they were the Yankees.
Yep.
And 1915, and they have had those pinstripes ever since. Other teams have had pinstripes. The Twins started with pinstripes.
Yep.
Back in 61 in their home uniforms, and then they disappeared for years and years. And then when they went back to Target Field 2010, they brought back those pinstripes.
Like, yeah.
We really like those, kind of that off-white kind of cream color. Same cream color that they use now, I think, in the ones that are the Twin Cities ones.
Right.
Those are off-white.
Yep, yep.
Let's move on to 54.
In 1954, Syracuse Nationals owner Danny Biazone revived the sport with a simple concept: to force players to shoot the ball.
24 seconds is a long time at basketball. So now if you take 48 minutes, they divide it 60 seconds each minute. When you divide, you multiply it by 60. I think it comes to 2880. Now each team takes 60 shots. That's 120. And if you divide that, what do you think comes up? 24.
That's how he came up with the 24 shot clock, the guy from the Syracuse Nationals. The Syracuse Nationals, by the way, eventually became the Philadelphia 76ers.
Didn't know that.
So this day, 1954, and again, George Mikan, as he did for like the lane, or as they called it back then, the key.
Right.
He affected rules because there was a game in 1950 of the Fort Wayne Pistons and the Minneapolis Lakers. The Pistons, as they say, Neil, took the air out of the ball.
Yeah.
And it was 19-18, still to this date. And they beat Minneapolis 19-18, still to this date, the lowest scoring game in NBA history.
Well, yeah, I think it was a good move. Nobody would pay money to watch that.
No, that was the problem. People were complaining, and Red Auerbach said, you give me a six-point lead early in the game, I'll hold the ball and I'll win the game for you.
Right.
Greatest rule change in the history of basketball, they said. In fact, even Minnesota High School now, with a 35-second shot clock. I think this was the second year of that.
Yep.
That they had that. No, today's no. This was the first year. 23-24 was the first year that they did that, and that was this past season, so 35 seconds. And that was perpetuated because it was Lakeville North versus somebody in the state tournament, and it was in overtime, and they just held the ball for the five-minute overtime for the last shot.
Right.
So whatever team it was, I can't remember. I was there. I was watching it, and this team held it for 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and then they would attack, and then that's when the push became, this is at least 10 years ago, and then the push started up for the shot clock.
Yeah, I mean, let's play.
Let's just play the game.
Yeah.
1970.
A unique day in American history is ending, a day set aside for a nationwide outpouring of mankind seeking its own survival. Earth Day. A day dedicated to enlisting all the citizens of a bountiful country in the common cause of saving life from the deadly byproducts of that bounty.
Deadly byproducts of that bounty. That's, of course, Walter Cronkite introducing us to Earth Day. It started this date, 1970. Let's make this Earth the best darn Earth it can be, because it's the only Earth that's around.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't go down to the store to get a new one.
Yep. There are people that still don't even recycle, which I'm not a fan. I mean, we need to recycle it. That's a small thing that we can do, isn't it?
That is this year's, like, Earth Day approach, and that's their motto this year's.
Yeah.
Limit the plastics.
Yeah. Plastics are a problem.
They are. They're getting everywhere. They're getting microplastics. They're finding them, you know, in the dung of whales. Whale dung, Neil.
Oh, no.
And there's plastic in there. Yeah. It's a problem.
Yeah. I'm just going to take their word for it at this point.
Yeah, you don't have to search for it, no. 1978.
Originally from Calumet City, Illinois, that put your hands together. How they put your hands together to the blues band of Joni Ending and Elwood Blues. The Blues Brothers!
Garrett Morris introducing the Blues Brothers on this date. First time they made their appearance. Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi as the Blues Brothers. Jake and Elwood.
It was magic.
Saturday Night Live. That was 1978. In the news in the year 2000.
It took 3 minutes. In 3 minutes, 6-year-old Elian Gonzalez, dressed in a t-shirt draped in fear, was gone.
Bingo! Bingo! Bingo!
Whisked away in the arms of a Spanish-speaking federal agent assigned to the case to provide the child comfort.
Dressed in a t-shirt and caped in fear. Boy, that was some good writing right there.
That really
good
was
reporting.
Good.
That was well done by that CBS News reporter. This was the date, and it was a chaotic scene as Ilian Gonzalez was seized by armed immigration agents, taken away from his relatives in Miami, and then eventually reunited with his father. Wow. What a scenario that was. What a story. It was a saga, Neil.
It dominated.
It certainly did dominate the news.
Yeah.
2004.
News of another American death has refocused attention on the meaning of sacrifice and service. Pat Tillman, who gave up a multi-million-dollar contract in professional football, has been killed.
Pat Tillman, who was a defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals, wanted to help his country, and he died on this date. And amongst the Army's elite Rangers killed in action, His unit was hunting Al-Qaeda and Taliban guerrillas. Tillman was just 27. This was 2004. And, of course, later on it came out it was friendly fire.
They're very sad.
So that was this date, 2004.
So a horrific accident, really,
yes,
is what it was.
Yes, truly. 5 years ago.
I keep telling everybody they should move on. Some do. But not us.
Even if there's a small chance, we owe this to everyone who's not in this room to try.
It's Avengers Endgame, Neil. It was the culmination of the whole Iron Man story arc. Started with Iron Man, and then it built up to the Thanos thing, and this was the end game. They would get their revenge, snap of a finger, everybody is back. It's 5 years. I think we can do spoilers at this point.
I think we can.
Again.
But it did kind of signal the end for a couple of them.
It made billions.
For sure.
And I'm going to be honest, regardless of what Kara says, you know, she's really into Marvel. I think Marvel's lost it since then.
It's
just not the same.
There's no
direction. They've got so many other things going on with these streaming shows, and they're trying, you know, they're doing all this other stuff. It's just never, ever going to be as good as that original story.
No.
Right now, they're just totally going in. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm not as interested as I was.
Oh.
And I was kind of excited to see where they would go, and it's just not getting it done for me. And they're agreeing to it because their ticket sales and people aren't going to as many of the movies. And they're delaying things and firing people, and they're trying to find themselves as well. I think they just did too many streaming shows to try and tie them into the movies.
Yeah,
I
would agree with that.
Anyway.
I was a big fan.
And
I haven't hardly seen any of them since.
Birthdays.
Jack, listen. Maybe we can cut a deal. Jack is dead, my friend. You can call me Joker. And as you can see, I'm a lot happier.
Jack Nicholson, 87 today. So many great roles.
Oh, boy, he's good.
He's won 3 Oscars and so many great performances. How about this performance, Neil?
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the Bob Almanac that Jim Staff provides, and then questions the manner in which Jim Staff provides said Bob Almanac. I'd rather that you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you arrive at 5:15 a.m. and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a darn what you think about Jim Staff's birthday list.
What do you think of that performance?
Award winning.
It certainly was. They gave
you.
Oscars for those.
Right.
Jack Nicholson, 87 here today.
I forgot.
Carter. Don't be confused with Nell Carter.
Right, I was going to say, hold it.
Yeah,
they're not related.
This is Mel Carter.
Okay.
Hold me, make me tell you I'm in love with you.
One of my favorite songs, late 50s, early 60s. Hold me, thrill me, kiss me. My mom had that album.
Oh, that's
good. And that song. He's 81 today. 81 for Mel Carter.
Hold on to.
Neil, he came alive.
Wow, wow. And as a wow, wow.
The more that he came alive, the more hair he lost, though.
And he had flowing locks for a while.
Yeah, there it is. The talk box, the squawk box, they're going to call it.
Yeah, I just saw the armadillos. Scratch your guitar player does that. It's just killer.
I love it.
Really good.
Peter Frampton is 74.
It's like a plastic tube.
Yeah.
That is right attached to his microphone kind of thing.
And you kind of go in there. It gets a little slimy from the saliva.
It's a very cool sound.
Wah-wah is good. Yeah. It is good. 74 for Peter Frampton.
We all talk a different language, talking in defense.
That is good.
That's Paul Carrick. Get him mixed up with Paul Young, the two Pauls. They were both in Mike and the Mechanics.
Yeah.
But Paul Carrick was Have Voice Will Travel, because he was the lead singer of Ace, their song How Long. He was Squeezed, Tempted. He had his own solo hit, and then Mike and the Mechanics here.
Really good, though.
Yeah.
Love his voice.
He's 73 today. Ryan Stiles.
Bad things to say to someone on their deathbed.
What are you going to do with your stereo?
Lines you should not open a sermon with.
Are you ready for some football?
Ryan Stiles. He was Drew Carey's good buddy. He was on the Drew Carey Show. And then, of course, on Whose Line Is It Anyways?
Yeah, very, very,
very
skilled.
Funny and skilled and very good. They called him Kramer Light.
Because
he was kind of the Kramer character on the Drew Carey Show. And Ryan Stiles is 65. What time is it, Neil?
I think it's TV theme time.
Yes, and this is Twin Peaks.
Oh, yes.
That was a show that saw a meteoric rise, and then it just kind of fizzled away.
Yeah, it was critically acclaimed.
Yes, it was. Because they had Kyle MacLachlan in it, who was just a fantastic actor.
Yeah,
but Cheryl Lee.
Oh, she was the female lead?
She was the titular character. Laura Palmer, the homecoming queen that was murdered.
Oh, yeah.
And she is 57 today. We got a country birthday today.
Can't concentrate on the preaching. My attention span done turned.
Heath Wright from Ricochet.
I'm honed in on that angel singing.
My sources tell me he's the lead singer.
She's got it.
That is correct.
Money. Her mama's good looks, more laughs than a stack of.
He's 57 today. Beast mode.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined. So y'all can sit here and ask me all the questions y'all want to. I'm going to answer with the same answer. So y'all can shoot if y'all please. I'm here so I won't get fined.
He answered every question with that. I'm just here so I won't get fined. And I don't know if he, I don't think he was fined.
I don't think so.
They never said they had to answer the question. You just have to show up.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch, that's with Seattle. They were at the Super Bowl. He's 38. And our rapper of the day is Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, sure.
34.
Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah, that's been used before. Somebody should have told him. All right, gone but not forgotten today. Our former Soviet leader, Vladimir Lenin. I don't know that he was really a good guy, but he was born on this day in 1870. Physicist J. Robert Oppenheimer. Didn't we make a movie about him?
Yes.
As the head of the Manhattan Project.
I still have to see it. I just noticed it's on Peacock. So if you have Peacock, it looks like it's a free streaming movie, but it's 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
We looked at it. We go, should we watch this tonight? And then we go, my wife goes, I think it's long. And I looked. 3 hours.
Wow.
I mean, Marvel movies are going, hey.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, but I hear it's good. But you gotta have to donate some time or set aside. 1904. Fine actor. You know, he was in a lot of things, but really, it'll always be Green Acres for Eddie Albert.
What's the matter with the vacuum?
Nothing.
It's not making any noise.
Well, it only makes a noise when it's plugged in.
Well, if it's not plugged in, it's not going to pick up the dirt.
There isn't any dirt.
Well, why are you vacuuming?
I am not. It's not plugged in.
Great combination
with
Ava Gabor.
I wonder if she drove him to drinking. Eddie Albert played the character there in 1906.
If she did, Mr. Haney would.
For sure. for sure.
Or Mr. Kimball.
Mr. Kimball would have. Aaron Spelling was an Emmy-winning executive producer. Look at the shows. Here's more TV theme time.
Exciting and...
Ooh, this episode has Ron Palillo in it. Whoa.
Horshack.
Horshack on the Love Boat, you know. Oh, Abe Vigoda.
Oh,
Abe Vigoda's in this episode. Nancy Walker.
Some handsome fellas there.
Are you calling Nancy Walker, Mrs.
Yes.
Bounty Paper Tells, handsome
right,
as well?
Right. Yeah. Anyway, Aaron Spelling was born on this day in 1923. Look at the shows. Love Boat, Fantasy Island, Charlie's Angels, your favorite, T.J. Hooker, Melrose Place, and then the newer ones, the Beverly Hills, 90210. I mean, pretty good. Aaron Spelling, 1923. Charlotte Ray, I know, was a favorite of yours.
Mrs. Garrett.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they went out and bought pizza and beans.
Went out and bought?
Yes, sir. The only one who ever walked out on my cooking was my ex-husband. And that was only because I tried to poison him.
Oh, you can't get enough of Mrs. Edna Garrett.
Yeah, there she
Edna's
is.
Edibles. She had a store called Edna's Edibles.
Was that on Different Strokes?
That's got a different meaning now.
Yeah, Edna's Edibles. Right. It really
Back
does.
Then it was just muffins and cookies. Now right. We're talking about some other stuff in those muffins and cookies, right?
1926 for Charlotte Ray. One of our very favorites. One of the most talented musicians of all time has to be Glen Campbell.
Well, it's no wonder that the door is always open and the path is free to walk. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Glen Campbell. Let me pretend that we're my sleeping bag, roll up and stag behind your couch.
Just brings a smile to your face.
Tonight are the great Fifth Dimension. Ruth Buzzy, John Bonner, and professional guest star is Dionne Warwick. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That lineup on the Glen Campbell Good Time Hour, where he would just pop out. Him and his band would pop up out of the audience.
Yeah.
How much did it stink that it was your seat that he picked? I mean, it was kind of nice, but then you weren't in the crowd for the opening of the show.
Right. You had to be somewhere else. But Glen Campbell, you know, the lead with Ruth Buzzy, you know it's going to be a big night.
Exactly.
The Grammy Award-winning superstar Glen Campbell, 1936. We think of our buddy Jeff Dayton on this day. And that's
all,
it.
Yeah,
they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Some key omissions.
Georgie, don't eat with your hands. Why do you eat so fast? You can't even taste.
Don't tell me how to eat.
You're wearing that shirt? You've had it for 5 years already. Why don't you buy a new shirt?
It was George Costanza's mom. She knew how to yell almost as good as Jerry Stiller.
Well, that was professional yelling right there.
Estelle Harris. She was also Mrs. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies. 1932.
And I'm falling.
And this 70s light rock classic, Neil, you must remember this.
Oh, for sure.
From LeBlanc and Carr.
Yes.
Pete Carr.
I don't know if they had a lot of hits.
This was the only one.
But I remember this very well.
They were going head-to-head, nose-to-nose with Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds.
Yes. For sure.
And maybe little England Dan and John Ford Coley. But it's,
light rock.
Yes, LeBlanc and Carr, Pete Carr, the state 1950. And, oh, I dug out one more here.
Well, then let's introduce ourselves. I'm Damien Karras.
And I'm the devil. Now kindly undo these straps.
If you're the devil, why not make the straps disappear?
That's much too vulgar a display of power, Karras.
Father Karras, trying... He came in and was trying to help out Reagan, Linda Blair.
Right.
Couldn't do it. Ended up
on The Exorcist.
I think in Exorcist 3 or whatever, he ended up flying out the window. But that's Jason Miller, who played the father, Father Karras in The Exorcist, 1939.
Now they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Played a pivotal role in that movie.
Yeah.
Trying to settle down the devil and the whole thing.
Right. Well, not easy. Not an easy chore.
No, not if anybody could do it.
Right.
So. All right, that's it. Ready for a Bobathon?
I think so. I think we should.
Gene Watson, 14-carat mine. You could start it out with Chasing That Neon Rainbow, Alan Jackson, or Tanya Tucker's Down to My Last Teardrop.
I'm feeling like Gene Watson today.
WQPM, Princeton.